Yay, we chose joy. Good morning. My name is Jay Pryor. If you don't know me, I'm a lay member of this congregation. And it's my joy to be with you today, to celebrate with you as we prepare ourselves for this season. I'm thrilled to get to be the guy who does this service right before Christmas Eve. And if you're going to be in town, I hope that you'll choose to join us. We are going to have a Christmas Eve service. And our Christmas Eve service at Unity is a contemplative service where we tell the Christmas story. And one of the things I love about Unity is that we believe it's a story. And that excites me a lot. So we'll share the Christmas story, and we'll also share our metaphysical interpretation of the Christmas story and how that goes. And, you know, for me, growing up, I was raised Catholic, and I was in a small town of 500 people. And so Christmas for me was very, very traditional. Every single year, we did the exact same things. And growing up in the church was being part of a community where each age you graduated into the next phase of being part of the Christmas year. So if you were, for example, a junior high girl, you couldn't wait to get to be able to do the dance to the song, Do You Hear What I Hear? Because every junior high girl in our church and in our town for 50 years had been doing that same song. So for me, it was always very traditional. And one of the things that I missed whenever I went away from my church in the past was having a lot of tradition. Especially coming from a Catholic background, everything about Catholicism is very traditional and very ritual. And I really missed that. And so I love the fact that now for 3 years in a row, anyway, we have had a Christmas Eve service here where we sort of do the same thing. And this year will be no different. We're going to come and we're going to do the service. And Jessica and I have been coordinating that with some other group of you here. And so we'll be happy to be here and share that with you. That being said, you know, today what I wanted to talk about was this idea of us coming into this time of the light coming, right? Winter solstice was yesterday. And so you'll notice that the clocks, or that your sunset, was at 5 o'clock yesterday, right? And then the day before that, it was at like 4:49 or something, or 4:59. But you'll notice if you pay attention to the time of day, literally, it is getting lighter now. Right? After winter solstice, the light is coming, right? And in Unity, we celebrate, as Kitty read, we celebrate or we prepare for our capacity to be the divine presence. And I love that word capacity, because as I was thinking about speaking today, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, I think that sometimes as humans, we, if we're even in this conversation, we focus on our ability to be that, and whether or not we have that ability to be our divine presence. I will tell you that Christ light still activates me a little bit. I think it's a word that sometimes you, as Jessica said once, you have to take a class to be able to understand it, and then once you understand it, you go, oh yeah, I get it, right? That the Christ isn't Jesus Christ, but it's the Christ within us. But for somebody coming from my background, I still hear that and get a little squicked out. So, so I like to use the divine presence, or the thought of being connected to all that is, right? And that piece of me that is. And what I know is that every single one of us has some level of capacity to be that within ourselves. And what I also love about Unity is, you know, when Julie Montag was here about a month or so ago, she talked about how she grew up in the Unity faith, and that when her mom would get asked by people if she was a Christian, she would say to them that she was a truth student. And as soon as I heard that, I thought, wow, I really want to own that, right? Because I love that that's who we are in for our church, is we are truth students. And we're always, always looking at what's our truth and how do we be our true divine selves. And we believe that each of us is that divine presence, or divine flow, if you like to call it, or as Abraham would call it, you know, divine source. And so what I also know is that coming into this time, for a lot of people, there's a lot of darkness leading up to this light, right? Christmas and this time of year can be the most triggering, activating, effed up time of the year. And so here we are in a world where everybody has this outward view of the holidays and everybody's happy and doing all this stuff, and a lot of us feel like crap. And so I think it's so important to touch base and talk about the fact that what we're doing and what we're preparing ourselves for is our capacity to be the light and love, right? And I did bring some of my books with me. I call it your higher self, right? And I call transformation chipping away at everything that is not your highest, best self. And in this context, I would say that that chipping away is expanding our capacity, right? It's expansive, that capacity expands. And for me anyway, sometimes when I'm in that capacity, oh my God, it hurts. It hurts a lot, and it doesn't feel good. And for me, in this past month, I've been doing a lot of shadow work lately. For those of you that don't know the term shadow work, it's essentially, you know, having stuff come up that you got to deal with from your past. And I, personally, in the last few months, have been, you know, having some stuff come up that I'm telling you, just last week I was cussing out God and being like, I don't want to deal with this. Right? I don't want to feel this. I was feeling a lot of hate. And when we sang the song, "When Hate Is All You See, I Feel Joy," Jessica and I were talking about that. And Jessica, you know, sometimes can be affected by the hate that she sees in the world out there. And for me, that hate comes from within sometimes rather than out there, right? I hate people. I hate things, I hate situations, I hate myself sometimes. You know, I have these moments where I can just touch that, and sometimes that hate is all I see, and I have those moments of that, and I don't want to own that. And so recently, but yet I know that owning that and dealing with those things and cleaning out all those cobwebs is the exact thing that then cleans out that space and expands my capacity to be the love and the light that I am. And that I really know the truth of myself as being. And, you know, I am somebody who is a coach, and I put myself out there all the time to be that. And so I, you know, signed up for this. I said I would do whatever it takes to get myself to be the light and the love that, and know myself as that, right? But that doesn't mean that it hasn't sometimes been incredibly painful. And in this last couple months, as I've been dealing with some stuff from my past that I thought was complete, that turns out isn't. Some of you may have that experience. It's like when you're cleaning out stuff, oh, there's still a cobweb over there in the corner that you forgot to get way back there. And what I know, if when you take our, you know, what I love about being a truth student is that when we take what we know here and then we combine it with, we speak about it here, but there's, I think, more speak about it out in the world of personal development sometimes. And we know that how we take the way the human body functions, or this thing, this vessel that I'm in right now, functions with this brain. And then you combine it with the truth. That's where I feel like I have real power, right? And that's where I have the capacity to share in a way that I hope makes a huge difference. And so when we're cleaning stuff out, and you know, I don't need to get into the nitty-gritty details of the shadow work I'm doing, but it's something that happened in high school to me, right? Something that happened, I say to me, that I participated in. And when you have something from your past that happens to you, it could be anything, right? You could have somebody die, you could do something that you're not very proud of, any of those things. What the brain does is generally, you, in order to survive that situation, we say something to ourselves. We make a decision about ourselves, and we say it to ourselves. And I believe that every single person in the world has one of those things it's what I call your I'm not good enough, right? And I've been dealing with a lot of that stuff. Like I've already handled the I'm not good enough. I thought I had that done, right? But recently when this stuff came up, it was coming up and I hadn't had a breakthrough yet. I hadn't been able to see what it was that I said to myself. Because it doesn't matter when we talk about, one of the tools that we use in personal development is we talk about reframing. And in reframing, we want to reframe incidents from our past. But we don't reframe the actual incident. What there is to reframe is what you say to yourself about that, right? What you say to yourself about that. And the work and opening yourself up is to get to a place where you can see that clearly and then know and stand in the truth of who you are, knowing that that's not who you are. So for example, this thing that happened to me, I recently have been cleaning out and, you know, processing and doing my best to love myself through. And even though I'm hitting some anger and hitting some hate and hitting some hard times and a lot of tears and stuff like that, it wasn't until I got quiet and still that then I heard for myself what I told myself when that happened to me. And what I told myself when that happened to me was that I'm a terrible person. Now, I've dealt with the I'm not good enoughs a long time. I know all that stuff. But the I'm a terrible person was new for me. And so when I heard myself say that to myself, like, that's what I said to myself. For a minute, it lived like it was true, right? And you all may have this experience that when you hear those things or you think those things, for a little bit, it has to live like it's true before you can, like, sort it out, right? And so I'm fortunate that I have a partner that does this kind of work, and I have a whole spiritual community that I surround myself with, which is why I do, that is always there to reflect to me the truth of who I really am, right? Which is the love and the light of what I call God or the universe or our source. And so I heard that I'm a terrible person, and then it occurred to me that when you can find something that deep-rooted, right, way in there, right, and you pull it out, you can see that for me anyway, I can see that I said that about myself, and then the rest of my life I can see how I've either been affirming that I'm a terrible person and then feeling okay about doing stuff I might not have been very proud of in my past, or doing everything to prove that I'm not a terrible person, right? And when you really look, you can sometimes see those patterns in your life. And I've had the distinct pain and pleasure over the last month discerning for myself that while I was 17 years old and telling myself I was a terrible person, guess whose job it is to go in and heal that 17-year-old, right? Guess whose job it is to go in and do that work and do that healing work. And while sometimes I do it kicking and screaming, right? And sometimes I do it just not wanting to and not wanting to be that vulnerable, right? I know that it is that very work, right? That contrast and moving through that that gives me an extended capacity to be who I truly am. And so wow, you know, we sing I Choose Joy, and it's the joy week, and we'll get there. I first invite you to look at what, if anything, do you need to move through before next week or right now, or are you moving through this time that limits your capacity to know yourself, right? Not your ability, because you all have the ability, we're all clear, but all of us have varying ranges of capacity, right? And it's those very things that we resist, those very things that we are kicking and screaming about that we don't want to be and we don't want to deal with that give us the capacity to know ourselves as the love and the light. Now, I titled this talk, Prepare Ye the Way, because the other thing I love about being a truth student is that we talk in here, and one of the things I love about being a truth student is all of it's the truth. Like, we're certain things that are just truth, and we speak truth. And for me, again, one of the words that has been very activating in my life, to some degree, but it's also funny, is the word Lord. Now, it's funny because my brother, when I became a coach and started getting smart about being able to talk to him and, you know, transform something for him in a short amount of time. I mean, I do have the gift of talking to people and being able to see their story, right? And then just flip it on them so that they can see it's my job, right? And I'm pretty good at it, right? So when I started to be able to do that, my brother started calling me the Lord. And so we joke a lot about how I'm the Lord. And so that word is kind of funny for me. But then also that word used to be kind of activating for me, like the Lord, you know, the Lord of the manor, the Lord is to be bowed down to the Lord. Like that whole thing used to be activating for me. And then I read the book, The Game of Life and How to Play It by Florence Scovel Shinn. And I read that book because Robin Loomis told me to. And when Robin Loomis tells me to read a book, I do it. Because she is one of my truth student partners in life, right? And that's what we do for each other. And so I read this book, The Game of Life and How to Play It, by Florence Scovel Shinn. And in that book, Florence asks us to look at the Bible, and everywhere it says the word Lord, put in the word law, right? Because as truth students, we study spiritual law, right? And we know certain laws of the universe. We know gravity. We know if you throw something off a roof or you jump off, you're going to hit the ground, and it doesn't matter how much you pray, you're going to hit the ground, right? That's the law of gravity. There's the law of attraction that we know, the law of circulation, right? The laws are what we know as our truth and that are part of that divine flow, right? So I could get that. And when I first started coming here and started getting more and more about my capacity to be this or even owning my own divinity was also a time when we were about to acquire children, or at least it was on our radar, right? We were, and I say acquire because we're adoptive parents. We are adoptive parents, so I say acquire for that reason. But I also, something you may or may not know about me, is that the universe or God talks to me through music. And most of you know here that I sing all the time, and part of my healing work is I sing, and it's just how I get communicated to a lot is through song. And when we were when I was thinking about children, often if I would start to think about this new child coming into my life, the song that would come to me was, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And then it got really bigger. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Bum, ba, da, bum, bum, bum. "Prepare ye the way." Right? And that's the music that would come to my head when I would even, you know, think about having a kid, right? And I thought that makes perfect sense, right? It makes perfect sense that that would be the song, right? Because aren't we, when a child comes into this world, aren't we preparing for the Lord? Aren't we, isn't that what we see? It makes perfect sense to us, right? And so then I had to think, once again, can you extrapolate that out to yourself? Right? Could I actually think about that about me? And of course, especially at the time, it was like, no, right? Not really. I mean, I kind of get it. Sure, I'm the light. Right? Maybe. That kind of thing, right? But when it comes to the baby, right? Then it's there, right? There's no question. And that's the beauty of the metaphysical meaning of Christmas and unity as we prepare for this child, this life, this Lord, to be born into us, right? And we expand our capacity, then we know, right? That we can relate to. That we can know. Oh, I get that. That's easy, right? Babies represent life. Babies represent love, divinity. All that purity, right? That sometimes we think, well, we just lost all that. I don't have any of that left in me. I'm a terrible person, right? That's the mechanism that we get to deal with, being the human being on this spiritual journey. And so, like I said, I came to know that knowing in a moment of quiet and in a moment of still. And for me anyway, when I can't choose joy yet right away, because I'm cleaning out those cobwebs, I know that there's certain things for me that I must do and must put in place. And I'm so blessed that I have such a powerful life already set up. I just can't escape it, right? I have a group that I meet with the first and third Wednesday of the month that always, you know, call me to be. I have the Vortex group over here that always calls me to be. I have you who always call me to be. I have my wife and my kids. All of these, my life is set up that I just can't escape it, right? And that's what I said I'd do, right? I said I'll step up and I'll keep doing that. And I want you to know that it's not always easy and that I get it if you feel like crap right now because it's Christmas, right? Because there is no more triggering time. And I don't want to invalidate that for you or for you to know or think that there's something wrong with you. Because what I always say in my coaching and in my book, I hope I say this, is that wherever you are, the first step is to give up making it wrong, but that's happening. Right? Because that's what we do. We have a thought as human. Oh, I thought feeling something bad, and so therefore it's wrong and bad. And the more we resist it, guess what? It persists. But the minute that we can just know that, yeah, I'm moving through something, and it's painful, and it doesn't feel good right now, but on the other side of that, right, is this extended capacity to be the love and light and to be my higher self. And so in the last couple of days, I've been having, I had this great breakthrough, right, where I got it. I got what I said to myself. And once I got that, then I could live in it, roll around in it for a second, and then go, bleh, that's not me, right? That's not who I am. That's something I said to myself. And that's all it is. Even though your brain would like to trick you into thinking it's the truth, it's not. The truth of who you are, and the truth that we know, because we're truth students, is that we are the love and the light that is God, the universe, that's all connected. That's who we truly are. And sometimes when you shed something like that, for me anyway, there becomes this giant opening, right? This huge opening of capacity to just be right now centered in who I am, which is my higher self, and absolutely be able to walk around to each one of you and say, I adore you, right? I love you, and that is all I can be present to, is that love. Once I've walked through that dark and that shadow, that's this time of year. We're walking through the dark to get to that light. And on the other side of that light, there is intense joy, right? Intense joy that has a shift for me anyway in my ability to show up as tender, to show up as open, to not be, I mean, for me, at least this time, you know, it's a closer to getting to where joy is what I reach for first, and joy is what I'm committed to being in the world for everybody else. And so I invite you, again, to not deny or be afraid of looking at what might be in the way of your capacity to experience the truth of who you are, but also to know that the light is coming. And that whatever you're moving through, you will get to the other side where there is joy. Because as you go deeper into your soul, then you will always have the opportunity to experience that light and to experience the joy. And so I'd like to have us prepare now for you to start to prepare. As we prepare in meditation, Jessica's going to come up. And we're going to sing you into meditation.